All right, let's go to the Word of the Lord. Let's go to Mark 14, 1 through 3. Thank you for coming this Tuesday night. Amen. You know, when you look at really how long you're in church, come on. Come on. You got all week to do what you want. And we're here 1 hour on Tuesday and maybe 2 hours total, 2.5 maybe on Sunday. Amen. It's certainly not asking too much. If you're struggling with that, you don't want to live in the generation I grew up in. Oh, no. 6 month revivals, a rest night, maybe every 30 days on a Monday night, and that was it. But we had the glory. People were committed. They said, well, I don't have time. They didn't have time back then either. You have time to do whatever you want to do. Somebody said, how you get that done? I said, take the time. Just take the time to do it. Amen. 14 and 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might take him by craft. They're going to craft a way, engineer a way to put him to death. Let's make it look this way. Let's set it up this way. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Let's wait just a little longer. But during that little longer time, we find the next verse, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. Another writing says very costly indeed. And she broke the box and poured it on Jesus' head. The entire thing. Not a drop. That's enough. The whole thing. I want to preach, it's time to go for broke. It's time. Somebody needs to, I don't know, I just knew you. I knew you was going to be here. The Lord didn't give me a dry sermon here. It's time to go for broke. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings and your mercies, your love and your care. You're so compassionate, God. Amen. You're so loving, so kind, Lord. We're thankful for what you did for us on Calvary. We could never repay you. Lord, we're forever indebted to you. Help us, Lord, to live our lives that you may be proud of us and say, enter in one of these days in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I'm not talking as the world would say, hey, I'm going to go for broke. I'm not talking about this stupid stuff. That's stupid stuff. You know, when you know it's not going to work, you say, I'm going to go for broke. No. But I will tell you this, as long as you have plenty of anything, then you really don't risk losing anything, right? You say, well, I'm going to try that. If it don't work, I still got $100,000. I'll put $1,000. No, how about when you put the $100 on it, or if all you got's $100, you know, when Jesus looked at the offering plate that, as they passed around, one lady went for broke. The others put in of their abundance. He said, they didn't go for broke. This lady went for broke. She put in all, she put in of her needs. She put in of her necessity. She put in not but too much, but she went for broke. And he took notice of that. And I began to study this, and it began to hit me how that the Lord requires us to get to the place where we're not going to do something because we have plenty of it. Well, let me give that as a token. No, 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 no. He wants you to be willing to go for broke. Amen. As long as you've got plenty of time, you won't be in a hurry to do anything. Well, I got time. What, when you're running out of time, you say, I got to hurry because time's going to expire. And so sometimes the Lord waits until you're to your last cup of meal in the barrel, and then the prophet shows up and says, make me a cake first. Well, I had this for me and my son. He said, no, you don't understand. You got to go for broke. You got to go for broke. You're going to die. She's like, well, I'm going to die anyway. We're going to eat one more meal. I'm going to die. I might as well go for broke. Okay, I'll make you. He said, if you'll do this for me first, then you'll have plenty. And the lady with the cruse of oil, what? Creditors are coming. She's broke. husband died, left her broke. They're coming to get her two kids as the creditors are coming. And all she's got is a little crew, little oil and a cruise. She went for broke. Went out and borrowed a bunch of vessels and found out that it only happens, and this is my sermon tonight, it really only happens when God intervenes for you when you are willing to go for broke. Broke don't feel good, does it? No. Broken don't feel good. But I've never seen anybody never get the Holy Ghost and not be broken. Never. He waits until you're broke and then he repairs you. He knows right where to break you. And then he fixes you. Amen. There's another name for going broke. It's called belly up. Belly up. Amen. Companies sometimes they go belly up. They go bankrupt. But I'm telling you what, there's a man in the Bible named Jonah who went belly up. He went belly up before the whale went belly up. The Lord told him to go preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to do it. He said, I'm not going to do it. I got too much what? Pride. I got to tell you, some people will never go for broke because they have too much pride. They'll never humble themselves to tears and crying out to the Lord because they got, and you don't have to have stuff to have pride. Sometimes people, you think you got to have something. I know people that got pride, they don't have nothing, but they got pride. But until you're willing to go for broke, God says, well, just keep what you got. Keep what you got. Jonah, the Bible says in Jonah 1:17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. This was all in God's plan, knowing that Jonah would run. And Jonah was in the belly. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and for three nights. This was a not just an ordinary whale. This is one God prepared. He had a room in there. And he had a room for Jonah to survive for 3 days and three nights. It wasn't too kosher because he said, the seaweed is about me. He was in the gastric juices, if you will, of that old whale. And Jonah prayed, chapter 2, verse 1. It said, then, after he went to the belly of the whale, then Jonah prayed. Why does God have to bring you to broke to get you to pray? Y'all pray. He waits until you're broke, and then we start praying. And he prayed unto the Lord, out of the Lord his God, out of the fish's belly. And he will pray his way out of the fish's belly. Let me tell you, you can pray your way out of anything. And he said, I cried because I felt sorry for myself. I cried because I wanted to do the will of God. I cried because I missed my home so much. He said, I cried because I was hurting. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. That's why I cried. But guess what? He still heard me. How many of you say I have a high tolerance to pain? Three or four of us. How many of you have a low tolerance? Some people, the least little pain, bloop, they're out. No tolerance for pain. That's fine. But Jonah had gotten to the point he couldn't take it anymore. We all got a point on how, no matter how high your tolerance is for pain, there is a point in which you will quit going. You'll quit all that stuff, and you will let it out. God is waiting till you get to that point. When you're willing to quit and resisting him, and you're willing to say, I remember that Sister Susan right there, that night you came down here, you went for broke. I don't want to live like this, not one more day. Not one more day. And he said, so when I went for broke, I was in the belly of the whale, the belly of hell, he called it, and I cried, and thou heardest my voice. Amen. Somebody needs to know early in this sermon that I'm preaching to you that God will bring you to the place you'll start using your voice. You'll start crying out unto him, but you may not be there yet. Why wait until you're there? It's like I preached a sermon a long time ago and I borrowed it from somebody else, and I don't mind telling you, I don't remember all that he said, but I remember this, that during the time of the plagues, They had locusts, they had flies, they had all this. One of them was the frogs. And the frogs were in the ovens, it was in the beds, it was everywhere. They were sick of the frogs, tired of the frog, couldn't take the frog, can't take it no more. And so he called for Moses. Pharaoh calls for Moses and calls for Aaron, brings them in there. And then he said, they said, what would you have us do for you? And Pharaoh said, I can't take the frogs no more. He said, well, when would you want us to do this, entreat our God to get rid of the frogs? He said, tomorrow. And the sermon title was One More Night with the Frogs. Why would you sleep one more night with what you're tired of? Why would you go one more day with what you're really sick of? The only reason is you're not sick enough of it. You will never come to God till you're so sick of sin that you're through with it. And say, I'll never do that again. I've ate so much pizza again, I thought I'd never eat pizza again. And we'll see a pizza. And sometimes I have flashbacks and don't want to eat it. Jonah cried out because he was sick of being in the belly of the whale. 3 days and three nights was 3 days and three nights too long. David said this, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. I was in distress. Then I cried, and he heard me. That's the good part. Even though sometimes you wait. Then when you do cry out, he's there. He'll bring you to the brinks of death, he said, and then save you. That's the kind of God we serve. Distress has a way of getting you to cry out like nothing else does. Jonah cried out because he is in distress. He said, you've cast me into the deep. I'm out of thy sight. I'm in the midst of the sea. The waves are coming over me. Amen. But he said, I will look again toward thine holy temple. Man, he's in the belly of the whale. How's he going to look? Right here he's going to look. I'm going to rethink this thing. This ain't worth it. And until you rethink your life and say, this is not worth it, I'm going to change my life. And he said, I will look again to thine holy temple. And he began to pray. And he went for broke. He said, Lord, I'm going to pay my vows. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Just get me out of here. There's been many a time somebody said, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll serve you, and didn't. He said, I will sacrifice and give voice of thanksgiving unto you. I'll use my voice in a different way. I'll give you thanksgiving. Salvation, he said, is of the Lord. And the Lord spake, verse 10, unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry. Everyone say dry. Dry land. The only way a whale can get on dry land is go belly up. Belly up. And it washes them in. And then when he got on dry land, blah, and out come Jonah. God knows how to bring you to dry land. You may be in vomit and around all kinds of things, filthy things, but let me tell you, God knows how to rescue you. God knows how to get you out of the mouth of the lion. He knows how to get you out of the belly of the whale. He's waiting on you to cry out. You know, I've seen people so many times, oh, save me, save me, save me. Saving is a lifelong process. Just think of it this way. If you were out in the ocean and you're on a life preserver, it still won't preserve your life. It's a life preserver, but it alone won't preserve your life. You can just stay out there in the ocean until the crabs eat you. You die of thirst. Somebody's got to bring you in and save you. And that's what Christ wants to do. If you were out there on the ocean floating around on, oh, don't bother with me, I have a life preserver. Don't, see y'all later, I have a life preserver. Don't be foolish. It's called a life preserver, but it won't preserve your life, but for a little while. And too many people only want their life preserved for a little while. But I'm telling you, if ship's going by, you'll forget. Hey! All your dignity goes. Because this may be my last chance. And let me tell you, Jesus is passing by tonight somebody's house. He's passing by this pew. He's passing by somebody's life. And it is time for you to go for broke. There was two blind men set on the side of the road. One thing I don't want to be is blind. Lose my leg, lose my arm. I don't want to be blind. It's two of them sitting on the side of the road. They can't see, but they can hear. And they heard the big ship was passing by. They heard Jesus was coming. He's coming. Well, let's don't wait till he gets here to cry out. Let's cry out before he gets here. And these two men began to cry out boisterously. I mean, they were, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us." Both of them. Now, one writer only writes about Bartimaeus, but the other writer writes about the other one. There's two of them. And they're crying out. And so much that the crowd said, "Will you shut up? Will you?" And the Bible says the crowd, the multitude, rebuked them. "Hey, shut those guys up over there. Shut them up." And the Bible says they said, "Oh, okay. Oh, well, you know, sorry. The Bible says they cried out the more. The more. That means there was still more in them. There was still more in them. Amen. And that's the problem with some of us. There's still more in you. You're still holding back some. He said they cried out the more. It took the rebuking to get them to cry out some more. And then when they cried out the more, Jesus stood still. Because they decided, "We're going for broke. We're going for broke. Won't care what y'all say. You're not the ones blind. I'm the one that's blind. You're not the ones hurting. I'm the one that's hurting. You're not the one that's sick. I'm the one that's sick." And they got louder and louder. And Jesus stood still. And he looked to the multitude. And the multitude said, "He calleth for thee." "Get out of my way, boys." And they come to Jesus. "What would you have me to do?" As if he didn't know. A lot of times when you get in the presence of Jesus, we freeze up. We don't tell him what we really need. I've seen it so many times. We don't cry out for, we're crying out, but we don't tell him what we really need. Come on, see, you're not understanding this. That we're crying out, "Lord, Lord Jesus, help me." And when we get up here, we don't really tell him, because I need a change in my life. And sometimes we don't really, it's like one guy came up, it was a guy that my dad was pastoring, and he was on disability. Had a back injury and a disability. I'm telling you the truth. My mom's my witness. And he came up to be prayed for. And he said, "Brother Baggett, don't pray for my back. I'm on a disability. What I'm up here for is such and such." Now, I don't mean nothing by this, but he's dead now. But you know, "Oh no, your back ain't hurting enough." I said, "Your back's not hurting enough. Because your back was hurting, it wouldn't matter about the check. What would matter was my healing." Amen. And too many times we're worried about other things rather than getting from God what God can do for us. I want everything God's got for me. David said it this way, "Early will I seek the Lord." I'm going to quit waiting until I'm in distress to cry at the Lord. I'm going to get up in the morning. "Hey, God, I'm out. I need you today, Lord. All day long, I'm going to need you. I'm going to face something today that I don't know what to do. So right now, Lord, I want to let you know I need you today." The Bible says that he opened their eyes and they followed him. Woo! Hallelujah. That's the beauty of getting people when they're broke. When he finally kept, as long as you got enough, then you keep doing your thing. "Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank God." I don't mean nothing by this, but I get a little weary sometimes praying for healings for people that don't want salvation. My only hope is that the healing leads to a salvation. Because I'm more concerned about their soul than I am their bodies. Because the Bible tells us that he uses your body to afflict it to save your soul. So it's kind of hard to take the affliction off that God put there because we're worried about the body. God's worried about the soul. And so in our text, we see this woman. Y'all hadn't forgot about her, did you? See this woman? She knows more about the death of Christ than Simon does that invited him to. Simon said, "Hey, I'm having a party tonight, Jesus." He's fixing to die. They're crafting a way to kill him. And Christ knows he's going to die, but this lady senses the urgency of the time. This, I know where he's at tonight. This is my moment. This is my time. I can't worry about what Simon thinks. But he's got 12 disciples. I can't worry about what those disciples think. Yeah, but you know, I don't want to break. I can't worry about that. I have a need. And and my need supersedes their party. It supersedes what they think. And until your need supersedes everything else, you will never get his attention. And so the hour come that Jesus goes to Simon's house, and this woman, uninvited, barges in through the door, comes in, past Simon, through the disciples, and she comes to Jesus. They're like, oh, no. Should we thrust her away? That's a sinner woman. Should we thrust her away? He said, leave her alone. And the Bible says that she broke the alabaster box of oil. She broke the box, broke the seal, and poured it on Christ's head. What was that box? It was the anointing that she was going to anoint herself with, the Bible says. She had saved all of her money for this, for her own death, but went for broke and gave everything she had to him. And Mr. Judas Iscariot goes, my Lord, we could have taken that and given that. You don't know what it is to go for broke. You're too worried about the money. This woman had gotten to the point. She didn't care if Jesus slapped her, talked back to her, or thrust her out. I don't care. I'm at the point where I'm not going back. I'm at the point I can't take another night. I'm at the point that if he tells me no, I'm just going to stay there anyway. I know that he has all the answers that I need. He is the only one that can help me. He is the only one that can fix my problem. And I'm going to stay. You know how I've seen people pray through at 2 o'clock in the morning? How about you? Because you know why? They said, I ain't going home. Boy, there's 2 or 3 little saints there. Now, y'all go home. We're going to be in. And finally, about 2 o'clock in the morning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why? I'm going for broke. I ain't going home. And Jesus turned to Simon before he talks to this woman. He turns to the owner of the house. And Simon, he said, I have somewhat to say to you. Over there, knowing, he says, if that man was a prophet, he would know that that woman is a sinner. He must not be the prophet I thought he was. He must not be the preacher I thought he was. They're not the Christian I thought they were. Because if they were, you got to get past that, folks. I said, you got to get past that. You can't worry about other people, what they think about you. And so he said, Simon, I got something I want to tell you. As they come tonight, let me keep your undivided attention a few more minutes. He said, Simon, there was a creditor one time that had 2 debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other one 50. 500 and the other one 50. And the Bible says, and neither had nothing to pay. They were both broke. Both broke. You know what? No matter, it doesn't matter if you owe $100,000 or $1,000, broke is broke. Broke is broke. If you can't pay it, you can't pay it. And he said, he, knowing that they both were broke, he forgave both of them. He said, now tell me, Simon, which one would love him the most, the one that owed the 50 or the 500? And Simon quickly said, well, Lord, I suppose the one he forgave the most. Oh, he said, you have rightly said. Her sins were many. Her sins were many. And you're looking at yourself, a Pharisee. Look at this woman. And you don't even see yourself. That's what a Pharisee does. That's what a hypocrite does. They don't see themselves. They see everybody else, but they don't see themselves. Do you know how many hypocrites go to church? A bunch of them. A bunch of them. Oh, I know it's not you. We don't have none here. They see everybody else and never see themselves. This woman saw only herself. She knew she was rotten. She knew who she was. And the Lord forgave her of all of her sins. He said, "Woman, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. I want to ask you tonight, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? What does it take? You remember when we were kids, someone gets you and they wouldn't let you go to you, said, "Uncle." What does it get you? What do you have to go through to say uncle? Sometimes you're not ready as long as you have more to waste. Did you catch that? People are never ready as long as they have more to waste. I have more time I can waste. I have more of this life I can waste. But brother, the Bible says there was a young man that left his father's house and said, "Give me what is mine." He gathered up his stuff and he left. But he finally got to the point he had nothing else to waste. And when he had nothing else to waste, nobody helped him out. That was a good thing. Because we're going to help our kids out. We're going to help other people out. Right? That's what we do. But sometimes you have to get to the place where nobody's going to help you out. Daddy didn't know where he was at. Let me say it this way, because we say this about people in the world. He was wasted. I saw a guy the other day, wasted. He's wasted. His life is wasted. His time is wasted. His relationships are wasted. But when he had nothing else to waste, a great famine came along. At the perfect time. And he's going out to feed the swine. And guess what he said? I would have fain filled my what? Belly. He's belly up. He's bellied up. He had gotten so broke and so low that what was in that pot, and y'all know what slop is, right? You that he said, "That even looks good." And the Bible says that when he bellied up, he realized this is it. He came to himself. Nobody came to him. Nobody came to help him. There wasn't no daddy come to him. There wasn't no brother came to him. There wasn't nobody came to him. He came to his senses and said, "I've wasted it. I have wasted my life. I have nothing to show for it. I'm 34 and nothing to show for it. I'm 44 and I have nothing to show. I'm 60 and I have nothing to show for it. I wasted it." But he said, "You know what? There's room for one more servant in my father's house." He came to himself. He said, "Here I am starving. I'm wasted. But in my father's house, there's plenty and to spare. I'll just take the spare. Give me the spare room. Give me the spare rib. Give me the spare anything." Tell you what, God's got more than enough to spare. Don't wait till that looks good to turn to God. Because it's going to take you coming to yourself. Would you stand tonight? There's an old song. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? God's here. This is your, don't let him pass you by. "Oh, I got plenty." No, you don't have plenty of time. There's an old song we used to sing, "Whatever it takes." There's a voice calling me, and I'm calling everybody tonight. Why don't you make your way up here? There's a voice, that's calling me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I had a cousin that was in jail, and it wasn't his first time. But I got a call to go. First cousin. And I go, and I have to go register to get in and talk. My chaplain's there. And, oh, bless God, I'm here to see my cousin. I come to, he's wanting God. He said, around here, they all want Jesus. That's what he said. Sir, around here, they all want Jesus. And I said, okay. He said, the question is, do they want him when he gets out? I went in there and I talked to him, and it didn't take me long. He don't want Jesus. He don't want Jesus. I don't know where he's at tonight. Don't know. But he don't want Jesus. There comes a point in your life you got to come to your senses. The Bible says that every man is drawn away of his own lust. Sin is common to all of us. Like I said, there's one thing we all have in common. Sin. We all have that in common. But it's the drawing away of his own lust and entice that brings forth sin. And sin brings forth death. It's a product. Sin is a product. Death is a product of sin. But Christ said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The wages of sin is death. There's a payday for sin. But the gift of God is eternal life. You don't have to pay for this. That's what's so amazing about it. You don't pay for it. He paid for it. You accept it. You receive it and live it and love it. Would any of you that been living for God all these years say, I wish I was back in the world again? Come on. No, none of us would want to do that. No way. The problem is I have to get sinners out long enough away from that to see the benefit of living for God. Because you don't see it when you're in it. It's like being in the grandstands watching the football game. And as long as you got somebody and you're fixing to block them so that they can pass, you don't even know where the ball's at. But if you're in the grandstands, you know where everybody's at. You can say, hey, he's open over there. He's open. Throw it to him. That's where you need to be in living for God. You go, hey, that leads to death over there. I'm not going to do that. No, I don't want. You can see better the higher up you go. But when you're down there in the trenches with sin, you can't see the wages of sin or death. And God says, I'll bring you up higher. I'll bring you up higher. So now I can see that ain't for me. That's not for me. Old timers used to say it, new timers don't want to say it. Whatever it takes. I got no problem saying it because I know that the most important thing is being saved. And there's nothing more important than that. I want to pray one more time before we go. Would you bow your heads right where you're at? Lord, some way, somehow, let the word of the Lord be like a penetrating oil that will loosen up the bolts, the old rusty bolts that have been fastened to the ways of life. And put the wrench on it, God, and turn it backwards until you bring it out of the channel that has it bound. Lord, there are people here tonight that know they need you, but they don't know how to turn loose of what's got a hold of them because it's got them like they've got it. But Lord, I read a scripture that says the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Lord, let them come to their senses and to themselves. Put that Spirit of God in them. And Lord, the zeal of the Lord will perform it and break every yoke that holds us back. Because it is your desire, Lord, it's your will that none perish, but all come to repentance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. I do pray that this does settle into your mind and in your hearts and realize that the world's not worth it. It's not worth it. Come to God and stay with God and you'll have a wonderful life. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for all the visitors that come in. Invite them back and we'll see you Sunday. Bye.